Welcome into episode 131 of the Godly Amen podcast. We are talking about common courtesies today, and this seems like maybe an odd episode, but if we're being honest, I think a lot of guys can grow up and just not really be taught this. If your dad's busy, if your mom isn't, you know, maybe your mom teaches you some of these things, but for us Godly Amen, sometimes you can get into it where we just kind of let the common courtesies go, and you have a lot of guys that now they're stereotypes, like the rough and tumble guys that just don't ever think of others. Like, we don't want to be that. As Godly Amen, I think we have a duty to try to be courteous, to be nice. Doesn't mean we're all, you know, good little boys. It means we're just kind. We treat other people kindly. We take care of the things around us. And so that's kind of what we're talking about today with courtesies.
There's certain things, like in golf, for instance, right? If somebody's putting, you don't walk over their line.
Right.
Step in where they're going to be putting. You're supposed to stay on the tee box until everybody tees off. You don't hit your shot and then go sit in the cart.
You stay quiet.
You stay quiet when somebody's swinging. Like, stuff like that, that is just like, if you're going to play golf, then you need to know the etiquette.
Right.
Similarly, we would argue all of these things that we're going to cover are just kind of life things, that if you're going to be out in public, if you're going to be – Joe actually did a great job of composing this outline. He's got several different categories of life. And if you're going to – we would argue if you're going to be in these little aspects of life – there's some common etiquette, common courtesy, whatever word you want to use, that we would encourage, we'll teach our boys, we would encourage all you godly young men to adopt.
And this is not to bash everybody.
Yeah,
again,
absolutely.
Just common courtesies that we want everybody to know.
Because we know, like Joe said, like pretty much all this stuff, if you're not taught when you go out to a nice place to work your silverware in, like start from the outside and work your way in, you're never going to know, right? And so similarly with a lot of, which that's not one of them, it's just an example, with a lot of this stuff, If you're never taught this, we don't want you to feel bad about it. But hey, that's why we had the episode, so now you'll know.
Yeah, exactly. So we got 16 total. We got four sets of four.
We're going to have to do like 2 minutes
per. Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be pretty quick. So the first is relationships-based. Courtesies, common courtesies in relationships. First is look people in the eyes. This shouldn't be a controversial one, but I do think that a lot of young people are kind of like, well, why do I need to do that, right? Why do I need to look people in the eye?
It's almost intimidating for them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're shy. Do I really have to do that? Like, yeah, we think it's really important to look people specifically in the eye because it communicates confidence on your part, but it also communicates that you're paying attention to them. And I think that's really important for people to know. I see you. I'm paying attention to you. I know what you're hearing. And so it's a part of active listening. It's just courteous to look people in the eye.
Well, we're in such a distracted time period in society.
No doubt.
That it's very, even conversation with people you're close to, it's very common. Oh, pull down, look at my phone, or... you know, a lot of kids, again, because it's intimidating, will kind of look around the room or whatever. This is an important one. Look people in the eye. The next one, say thank you. Say thank you.
Oh, man, that's a big one.
This should not be, as you just kind of said a second ago, controversial. This should not be difficult, but unfortunately for a lot of people, it is. One of the things my parents did a great job of, to kind of pump their tires a little bit, is they taught us literally any time somebody made a meal, somebody took the time to make a meal for you or obviously pay for a meal, but like when you go to somebody's house, you will say thank you. Even if you thought it was the worst thing, they took the time to make you a meal, say thank you. Obviously, this doesn't just apply to meals. It applies to all kinds of things. But I think just having the perspective of gratitude and teaching kids from a young age, hey, if somebody did something for you, it means it cost them something. The person who made the meal cost them 45 minutes to an hour, or if they paid for it, cost them money. Make sure you say thank you. This one's super important.
Gratitude, yeah. Gratitude's the key. And looking for ways to be grateful, I would say, such as, like you said, it costs like $2. Like, they didn't have to spend $2, right? If somebody gets you a drink from McDonald's and it's a dollar drink or whatever, like, you still say thank you. If somebody goes out of your way and they pick up some papers that you dropped, like, you say thank you. Well, it took them no time. That's not the point. They didn't have to do it. They went out of their way. Be generous. Be with your thank yous, I should say. Third, stand when shaking hands and make it firm when you do. And yeah, that seems maybe weird to put on a courteous thing of firm handshake. It's the same as looking people in the eye. There's an engagement level. There is a respect level given to the other person. The wimpy handshakes, that's not courteous. I think as a guy, we want to be able to, you know, give them a proper handshake back. But also stand with shaking hands. No, I'm not perfect at this, as people come up at church and, you know, you just sat back down and whatnot. Okay, there's going to be some exceptions. By and large, if somebody's going to come up, and especially if you're introducing yourself, you always stand to shake the hand.
It's a respect thing, oddly. Like, you know, if somebody comes over to shake my hand, you know, it's almost like, oh, I'm not going to bother to stand up, but hey, nice to see you.
Yeah.
Again, as Joe said, I've been guilty of this. I got a kid in my arm or something,
right.
So I'll, you know,
there are
shake their hand while sitting down. For the most part, I think it's a really good, just once again, courtesy item that a lot of people might not have been taught. We would encourage you. The fourth one on this list – pet peeve of mine, and if my wife was making a list, this would definitely make her list. Don't interrupt. Man, we are struggling with that with our 3-year-old son Jackson right now, because if he has a thought, he wants to get it in there and ask his question immediately, and we are having to teach him, son, I am talking, do not interrupt. Well, he's 3. There's 25-year-olds that can really struggle with this one, right? Sure. And typically you'll see this with people who, you know, this is kind of paired with people who only really know how to talk about themselves, their stories, their experiences. They've got, oh, well, this. And some of it is excitement and exuberance about it, you know, sure. But, man, don't interrupt people. It is just typically a very rude thing to do. It kind of, once again, shows a lack of respect. Like, I don't really care what you have to say. I want to go ahead and say what I'm going to say. And so, yeah, don't interrupt would be our 4th one.
Here's a quick thing that I'll say. If you find someone that's, I mean, that speaks for itself in terms of we shouldn't do it. If you find someone that's interrupting you a lot, a couple things. First off, make sure you're including them. Because sometimes they want to just get their word in. They're afraid that the conversation is going to pass. They're not going to get a chance to say what they want to say. Make sure people feel heard, that they feel included in the conversation. Try to make breaks, that you're not talking too much, where they feel the need to do that. So part of it's internal. Part of it is being able to set the boundary and go, just give me 1 second. Like, I'll get to you in a second. If it continues, that's when you say, excuse me, right? And you want to stand up a little bit more. You don't have to be a jerk about it, but excuse me. Sorry, I'm talking. It feels really uncomfortable. I don't like doing that, but most of the time when
I realize... It usually doesn't get to that point, but it might.
Correct. Usually it doesn't. That's honestly, a lot of times that's for somebody who may be on the spectrum, maybe struggling in some ways, like they do not get the social cues. There's got to be grace given on those moments. But as far as it goes with the interruption, like, yeah, make sure that you are including people so they don't feel the need to interrupt, because that's the other part, is don't hog the conversation where nobody can get a word in edgewise.
My wife is very gracious about this, but man, there'll be times like... at a dinner table or something, well, she'll have somebody interrupt her for like the 3rd time, and she will just give them the death glare, like you done? Yeah, can I speak now? Like, obviously she's not rude about it or anything, but yeah, it's a common courtesy thing for sure. Joe, let's get into the next section.
Yes. We're
making good time, I feel like, not to jinx it.
Yeah.
Meal times.
It seems like a weird one to put mealtime on here, but as we are going through, like, we just put a ton on the list, and sure enough,
a lot of
like,
them have to do with meals. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, think about how much time in your life you'll spend eating meals.
Oh yeah, no doubt. So some are going to be general relationship wise. Others are going to be specifically at mealtime. I'll let you do the first one because this was your item.
Don't eat the last item. So this is just one of those common courtesy things. So if your family goes out to eat. My dad was typically very generous. If we were going to go out to eat, he liked to order an appetizer. Well, appetizers, again, are not a huge portion. You're going to get 6 of an item or 4 or 5 of an item. And, you know, we're in a family of 6, and so he would maybe half everything up and split it our way. Well, there'd usually be like 1 or 2 left. And I don't actually remember if he ever verbalized this, but it was always just kind of inherent in us, like we weren't going to take the last one.
Right.
Specifically since we didn't pay for it. But not taking the last item, obviously this applies to like – out, you know, at home eating with another family or something. Like if there's only a set amount of pieces of bread, just don't eat the last piece, last cookie, last piece of dessert, whatever it is. I don't know. I this one's a little bit harder for me to explain why. There's just something to it. Like just don't be the guy that's like, oh, one more, I guess I'll take it.
Right.
Like,
I think it's presumptuous.
It's just kind of rude.
I think it's presumptuous is what it is. And I would say this isn't on the list, but don't be the first guy either. In my opinion, you're out to eat, guys. Don't be the first guy. The appetizer hits like, oh, let me grab mine. I'm gonna get mine. Like. Make sure everybody else has got
something. Especially if you didn't pay.
Exactly. Especially if you didn't pay. But even so, you know, make sure that everybody's gotten a little bit as it comes around, whatever it is. If it's sitting there, nobody's, like, sometimes it's good to just step in and go, okay, I got one.
Yeah.
You know, take a small little piece. Make sure there's plenty. Because if you take after your portion, everybody's looking at it going, man,
not much left.
You know, 3 pieces left type of thing. You don't want that. But, yeah, I think the idea of not taking the last item, there is an importance of, like, don't be presumptuous to think, oh, this is mine. I'll just take it. Like, a lot of times what I'll do is if nobody's eating it, hey, do you want it? Do you want it? And I'll offer it around. And if nobody's going to take it, sure, I'll take it then.
Or
if
wait until – sorry, I just interrupted you. I'm so sorry. Wow.
How rude. Yeah, I'll just clear it. No, but that's exactly it. Like wait until, hey, if somebody's going to come and take the plate, okay, yeah, I'll take that one, whatever. I'm assuming that's what
you're saying. I would say that or like when the regular course gets there, you can be pretty sure everybody's done with the appetizer. Sure. So that's generally when I'll feel comfortable taking it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
which some people might be listening to this going, this is super silly. Hey, we're 131 episodes in. We're
entitled to some silly episodes, I guess.
That's right. Yeah. But hey, we don't think it's silly. It's important stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's, once again, it's common courtesy. And you may look at it and go, that's really dumb. Trust me, it is common courtesy. If you go out and you're on a business lunch with somebody, employ these things. Yes, do not 100%. Be, do not be the guy that just initially takes it or the last guy. Oh yeah, that's mine. And you've had three helpings. And everybody else had one. Don't do it. Next thing, don't eat until everyone has food. This is a big pet peeve of mine. Mm. And I think you put this on here, but I think it's really important. I'm glad you did. Don't eat until everybody has food because, you know, maybe yours is the first one to get there and kitchen's running a little bit behind, you know,
you're
whatever it may
party,
be.
Yeah.
Yeah, big party. And you get yours and it's like, sweet. You know, and you start snagging on your chicken strips and you got one left and everybody else is just starting to get their food. Don't do it. That's really rude. Everybody feels a little left out. Like, everybody's going to be nice and go, no, 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 eat. We don't want it to get cold. We don't want it to get cold. In my opinion, unless it really is something that's like you have to have it specifically hot, give it some time. Wait until at least
is there a time frame?
In my opinion, I think 2 to 3 people need to have their food before I feel comfortable eating in a group. So it's not even a time frame thing. If I get it before way before everybody else, yes, if I can tell, like, I mean, we're talking like 5-10 minutes has already gone by, nobody else is coming, I may start nibbling. Here's the other thing. This is just me. Maybe it's a weird thing. Fries are, you know, things
fries
like that.
Fries are okay.
They're okay, right? The nibbling on something like, okay, let's say I got chicken and it comes with fries or a burger or whatever. I'm not going to start eating the burger. I may nibble on a fry here or there. It kind of lets people know, like, I'm not going to completely wait. I'm going to eat it while it's hot. But so it makes them a little more comfortable. On the other hand, I'm not scarfing down, so I'm halfway done my burger by the time somebody gets their course.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Next one. Actually, tell you what, Joe.
I'll do this one.
This is
you
your passion point. Yes. So you're going to do the next one.
When you are in a public place, please pray loud enough. Pray loud enough. I'll tell you what. It's just a soapbox mine. Drives me nuts when you have somebody and it's like, hey, you're at the middle of the table. Would you mind saying the prayer? All right, let's pray. And it's like, everybody, because it's loud, it's in a restaurant. Everybody's kind of like, they're closing their eyes and then they kind of peek up.
It's
like,
not
is
even
he done?
It's not even that they stay at their normal volume. It's that they go down to
quieter. We're really quiet and we're in a sanctuary. Like, dude, we're not in a sanctuary. We are in a restaurant that's blaring music and a bazillion people are talking. Please speak up. So if somebody asks you to say a prayer, it's an honor to be able to say the prayer in public. Make sure that you say it. You know, you don't have to. This is not the time to give the most eloquent prayer of all time. Make sure to pray for the food. You can keep it short and simple for the most part. Please pray loud enough where everybody at the table can hear you. You don't have to blast everybody's ears all the way across across the restaurant. But, like, everybody at the table needs to hear clearly because you are saying the blessing for them, and you want them to hear the dear God, and you want them to hear the amen so that they know now it's time to
if
eat.
If they can't hear it, it really does defeat the entire purpose
correct.
Of you praying.
Correct. Yeah. Sorry, that's just pet peeve
the
of
last
mine.
One is one, a pet peeve of mine. Mealtime is get off your phone.
Yeah.
Just get off your phone. I feel like the caveats, you know, and qualifiers are necessary. Like, as Joe said before the episode, like, if your wife's in labor. Obviously, if your wife is in labor, you can have your phone out. Or if your wife's in labor and you're out to eat with somebody else.
Yeah, you got bigger fish to fry.
You got bigger like fish to fry. That's right.
Bigger problems.
But, like, you know, again, there's people that they're on call all the time. Or
sure.
They've got a work situation that they are just having to deal with right then. I'm not really talking about that. If you got your phone out to scroll X or check the latest score of, you know, whatever game is going on, and you're just kind of scrolling and people are talking, like, yeah, yeah, just texting people frivolously, that's a really bad look.
Yeah,
just be off your phone. I need to work on this as well. Not that we go out to eat a ton, but when we do, I went out to eat with my wife, just the two of us last week, and I put my phone at the end of the table and basically didn't touch it. People, especially young people, have to break that habit of compulsively reaching for their phone. But it is a courtesy thing that when you are out to eat with people or, of course, at somebody's house, man, keep your phone in your pocket. Like, it is just whatever it is probably is not, especially if you're super young, like, it's just not important enough for you to have your phone out.
They have those games or whatever where, like, you stack your phones and the first one to grab the phone has to pay for everybody's bill. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I have,
like,
seen that, yeah. I've seen those cages, too, that they lock phones in and they bring those cages.
Yeah, my mother-in-law actually got that, I think, where it's a little box and you put it in. Like, sanitizes the phone, but it also locks it during mealtime. I don't think anybody at their family actually puts a phone in there. No
nice.
Offense. Shout out Braden and Dylan. I think they watch. But anyway, no, it's a stay off the phone as much as possible. Don't be the couple that is there and just looking down at the phone the entire time and then and then show each other a meme and that's like the only interaction you have. Just get used to the conversation. Next is in public. So we talked about the relationships, talked about mealtime. The next is just in public. I added these fairly fast. I mean, there's a bazillion of one we could give. One of the reasons is I just went to store. I was just telling them, right before this, that at the store, and these people come up. They did not speak English.
You're in the self-checkout line.
It's late. It's like 10 p.m. And so there were a surprising amount of people shopping on a Saturday night. And so we're all in a line, and the self-checkout is just taking forever. And here come these people, and they just cut right in front of everybody and go take it. Like, somebody had just passed, and I step up, and they cut right in front of me and go and take one. It was like... Luckily, somebody opened up at the exact same time, so I was able to walk to that. But what are you doing?
It's just peak rude. Yeah.
Just don't be rude. Don't skip the line. Pay attention to those around you. Like, be mindful. I talk to my kids all the time. Be mindful about those who are around you. Same thing when driving. Like, be mindful of everybody on the road. Be mindful of the people around you. It's not just you in this world. It's a lot of other people. And I think something like don't skip the line is a big one. The same as, like, you know, we went to Universal a couple weeks back and on vacation, and you just have these people like, excuse me, and they get all the way to the front of the line, and they have their buddy up at the front of the line like,
come on, bro.
Don't skip the line. Don't be that guy, you know, and everybody does that. So
yeah,
don't skip the line.
The next one, that's what I was going to say, is like, just briefly, people like get tunnel vision of like,
yes,
I literally cannot see anybody else in this world except me. Don't be that. Those are the exact same people who only talk about themselves in conversation.
Right.
But the tunnel vision is really bad. Say excuse me. When you're in public, say excuse me. If you bump into somebody, even if you don't necessarily, like, if you're, you know, having to like get maybe a little closer, you need to get past somebody, or again, maybe you never even brush up against them, just say excuse me, because once again, it just adds to this, like, I'm aware that you're here and I'm aware that I might be invading your space a little bit. I'm just trying to get through. Excuse me. So sorry. I don't know. There's just a general awareness of other people that I'm glad Joe just brought that up, because that's what this speaks to me. General awareness of other people that you need to have. So say excuse me.
Yeah. Third, hold the door open. I know sometimes you get stuck holding the door open for 20 people, 18 of which don't say thank you. Drives me nuts. That's another one on here. Like, say thank you, as we talked about before. On the other hand, be the guy to hold the door open. It is a nice thing that, you know, you walk right through, make sure you say thank you if somebody else is holding it. But a lot of times, just be the first one to go hold the door open. It's a small, simple gesture, but it lets everybody, it's a humbling thing. It lets everybody know, yeah, you can go before me. I just think it's nice to hold the door open for people. It's nothing huge, but on the other hand, it's just a courteous thing to do. Yeah. And same thing with going on a date. I don't actually do this. On date nights, I actually do, which is kind of weird, but on date nights, I actually will open the door for my
Not
wife.
Any other night. Just
Not any other. It's like, hey, every other time is like, yeah, you get it for yourself. But hold the door open for everybody and things like that.
I'll let you do the last one. You had a good rant about this.
Sorry. This whole thing was just me ranting, I think, in the public. Went to the mall. I go a lot of places, I suppose. Went to the mall, and just trash right in the middle there. And so I picked it up, and the boys were like, did you drop that? And I was like, my son's sitting there like, no, I'm just picking it up as I go. And it's just a pet peeve of mine to see. It's just a receipt that somebody had wadded up and dropped. Like, what are we doing? And maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was. But there's multiple pieces of trash as you're walking around. And I think it's a common courteous thing to just pick up the trash, throw it in a nearby trash can. If you have to hold it for a mile, okay. You know, but like, if there's a trash can nearby, try to keep things clean as you go. Keep things around you clean. It's the same concept as keeping your room clean. Like, I like a clean public. And if you think about it, if everybody takes your attitude, what would the public look like? If everybody takes the attitude of just picking up one thing, trying to keep it clean, making sure they're not, you know, throwing stuff all over the sidewalk or whatever it may be. We live in a very decent society. So think of it that way. If everybody did what I did, would we live in a better or worse society?
We teach our team members this at Chick-fil-A. If they go in to use the restroom, you see a paper towel just kind of out loose or something on the ground, just pick it up. You're walking back through the dining room to get back to up front or in the back, you see a receipt or straw wrapper on the floor, just grab it, pick it up, throw it away. Obviously, me and my other leaders, like, we do that all the time, because that's part of our job, is to make sure it stays clean. I'll walk around outside the building and pick up. It's amazing how much people litter, man. It's just crazy. People just throw stuff all over.
I can imagine.
We teach our team members as well, like, man, have an eye for that kind of thing. So that was an interesting one that Joe put on there. I like that. Like, just once again, it's considering other people. It's considering your surroundings beyond yourself. Joe, would you like to cover the next one, or would you like me to cover the next one?
Go for it. Go for it.
I'm just messing with you. So work and church is kind of the last one, and I'm giving Joe a hard time about this one, which is funny.
Because he showed up late today.
I was late today. Don't be late is the first one that we have on here for work / church. Really, for this one, I think any gathering, like anything that you are supposed to be coming to. Generally, it's a courteous thing to not show up late. Again, we've given Joe about a hard time about that. He's gotten a whole lot better at that. Again, I was late this morning, 7 minutes late. That might be a record for me. I felt like I should have just turned around and go home. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, don't be late. If Joe's having me over for dinner and he says, "All right, we're gonna eat at 5:30," and I show up at like 5:47, like, what does that signal to Joe? Well, my time's not all that valuable, apparently. You know, and again, things happen. Joe's got 4 kids. I've got 3 kids. Like, we're not trying to say you got to be perfect all the time, but it is, honestly, it is just a bad look. You wouldn't be late to a job interview. You certainly wouldn't be late to a job interview. You wouldn't be late on your first day to work. you shouldn't be late any day to work, but especially those. Well, why not? Because you're setting an impression, right? You wouldn't be late to a first date. You wouldn't be late to, again, fill in the blank, right? You wouldn't be late to a speaking thing that you have to be at or anything like that. Why not adopt that same mentality for all of life? Again, you don't have to get there 30 minutes early necessarily, but being late to me is just, again, especially if it's, hey, I'm going to, out to dinner with a friend. We've got this get together. It's just a general courtesy thing to do everything within your power, accidents or life happening notwithstanding, to try to be on time or maybe even a little early.
With each of these, they communicate something. You know, on every one of these on the list, they all communicate something. And don't be late. Being late, and I'm not always great at this, it does communicate that my time is more valuable than yours. I will get there on my time. I hate that about myself, that I'm late. A lot of times it's 2 to 3 minutes late, and which just feels like it's some psychological problem that it's always two minutes late or less, seemingly. But make sure that you are valuing their time as much as possible. The next one, number two on the work/church, give a heads up. Give a heads up, and this is a shout out Josh. He was the one that gave it to us. Just the idea of call out. Like, if you're going to call out of work, call somebody.
Or if you're going to be late,
if you're going to be late, if you're going to, if you know, if you said you were going to cover a kid's class or whatever at church and you're not going to make it, you need to let somebody know probably on Friday, Thursday, Friday, however long ahead of time, I'm not going to be able to make it. Would you mind covering for me? If you're going to be at work and you're not going to be able to make it, like, don't call 5 minutes before your shift and go, hey, can you cover it? Like, call out, give somebody some heads up, give them an opportunity to fill that spot, because that's one of the hardest things for, and I'm sure you can speak to this way better than I can, one of the hardest things is when there's just a bunch of no-shows, and it's not a courteous thing to do. Godly men don't do those things. They give people heads up. They give an opportunity to adjust and to fill your spot.
My crew at Chick-fil-A does a great job of that. We kind of have pretty good policies in place where that doesn't happen very much. But, man, when I was at Amazon, it would not be uncommon to have 5 or 6 people scheduled just not show up, just out of the blue. And I know there's a lot of line, you know, a lot of industries, lines of work that takes place. Give a heads up. Obviously, I would say don't call out at all, but if you have to, give somebody a heads up. If you're going to be late, give somebody a heads up. It's just a general, if you know, again, if I'm going to, not to keep using the same example, but if I am going to be late to the dinner that Joe invited me and my family to, hey, man, I'm so sorry. I'm about 15 minutes late, ran into this, right, ran into that. Like, at least give them a heads up is really solid advice. Thirdly, for work/church, don't avoid opportunities to help. We're going to talk about this off air and kind of figure out the best way to phrase it. And you'll see those people that, like, you know, if you go to church and, all right, we got to move all these chairs and move all these tables. You'll see these guys that, you know, that they know that's what everybody's doing, but they'll kind of talk, extend their conversation, talking to somebody, and then they'll go to start helping right as everything's wrapping up, right, or maybe it's completely finished. Oh, like, oh, yeah. Is there anything? You guys need help? It's like, we actually just wrapped up. Thank you so much for asking 10 right. minutes later than you should have. And maybe that's me being rude here, but like, no, you so do true. See guys like that. Yep. But it's like they are strategically – people do this, at, you know, going to people's houses with the dishes, right? They'll see people doing dishes, clean up the table, wiping stuff down. Can I help with anything? Like, we're already done. You didn't ask that 15 yeah. minutes ago when you needed to. So, you know, look for opportunities. I think a better – again, maybe a better way to put it is don't avoid opportunities. As soon as you see people start moving chairs, man, cut your conversation off. Go help out. Move the chairs. Hey, what needs to be done? How can I chip in? Like – just a generally courteous thing to do.
I mean, if you have an important conversation, yeah, you don't have to be like the first guy to like, oh, excuse me, and go help. On the other hand, yeah, wrap up the conversation. Or maybe meander over with the conversation. Yeah, let's keep talking. Meander over and go pick up some chairs while you're still talking. Yeah. Get them involved in it as well. Like, just, yeah, don't avoid those opportunities. Look for opportunities to help and don't avoid them when they come your way. Last but not least, because this goes along with the first one as well, kind of the relationship, I put it as initiate the hello. Initiate the hello, meaning when you wake up in the morning, be the first to say good morning. When you walk into work, be the first to say hello. When you walk into church, hey, good morning. Like, when you set the tone, and if you're always waiting for somebody to ask you and somebody to come up and, hey, how are you doing? Like, oh, I'm doing good. Like, first off, respond, reciprocate, ask them the same thing. But second off, if you're the first one, you get to set the tone as like, hey, it's a really bright morning. Hey, good morning. How are you doing? That way they can already hear there's a buoyancy in your voice, or when you wake up, good morning, how are you? You know, talking to my wife or whatever it is. I like being able to initiate that with my kids. It just sets the tone for the day that it's going to be a good day. Yeah. So best of it is, as much as you can, to the best of your ability, initiate the hello wherever you may be.
This is a really good one. It was kind of a last minute add, but you think about successful people, you think about leaders, you know, again, people who just do well for themselves, they typically have this trait. They don't walk into a room and just kind of look around and wait for somebody to greet them. They kind of come in and own the room. They kind of have a commanding presence, and not a boisterous, obnoxious way, in a boisterous or obnoxious way, but as you spoke to, they'll come into the auditorium, stick their hand out first. Hey, good morning. How's it going? not waiting for somebody to, because there's almost like a, I don't know, entitlement feel that some people have. Like, you should ask me how I'm doing, or you should greet me first. And again, some people might think this is silly. To me, it really does matter. One of the things, again, not to, this is not tooting my own horn or keep having to go back to work stuff. When I walk into work, I try to greet every single one of my team members that's there by name every single time as soon as I get there. If I were to wait and for all of them to do that, that would reflect pretty poorly on me as a leader, as somebody who's works with them. Similarly for church, you walk in, sit on your pew, wait for everybody to talk to you. Like, I don't know, there's just something about that versus you going up to everybody, hey, good morning, how's it going? Hey, tell me about, you know, XYZ that we talked about last week or whatever it is. That's what godly young men do. That is a courteous thing to do.
Set the tone, you know, take initiative, things like that. There's so many more we could have added to this list. We realize, like, just as we're putting it together, I'm thinking of more bonus ones. Leave a space cleaner than where you found it. I think that's a big one. That could go on any of these, of make sure that you're cleaning up as you go, whatever it is. I guess that's pick up trash. But, like, there's so many of other ones that we probably could add if we sat here and thought for another, you know, hour or so. We'd probably come up with another 20. We'd love to know your additions. So make sure to comment. Make sure to, especially the Discord, make sure to let us know, like, what common courtesies maybe were you taught from your parents, or something that you find to be maybe a pet peeve of yours, a soapbox issue, whatever it is. I'd love to know. What you think, and if there's anything that you say, absolutely, you got to make sure to do this, please comment and let us know, and maybe we'll do a part two of this somewhere down the line. But any other thoughts for you?
I don't think so. This has been episode 131. Appreciate Joe for putting this outline together. And like you said, oh, one other thing I wanted to say at the start, and I forgot. If you are watching or listening this far, you have not yet done so, stop listening, go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star, not just a rating, but also a review. Let everybody know what you love about the podcast. Hopefully you love it. Why it's one of the ones that you like to listen to, why it's one of your favorites. We haven't pushed for reviews in a while. They really do help. The rating, of course, helps as well. So if you're able to, we would love that. That's all I've got, unless you've got anything else. This has been episode 131 of the Godly Young Men podcast. Thank you so much for watching and listening.